right, Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, we'll break some new ground beginning in verse 11. It says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." So the phrase that we see there in verse 11, it says, when they were going. That's a reference to the women that Jesus had just spoken to in the previous text. And they now have moved on and are obediently following the instructions that he gave them to go tell the rest of the disciples that he would see them in Galilee. And so they've done their part. They've left. And upon their departure, some of the men that were a part of the guard that had been watching over the tomb, some of them decided that they're going to go to Jerusalem and tell the religious leaders what had happened regarding the empty tomb. They'll tell them about the angel of the Lord appearing. They'll tell them about, of course, the earthquake that was involved with that event, the stone being rolled away, the whole series of events that had just taken place. They're going to take that information and carry it to the elders, who, by the way, were responsible for getting them to guard the tomb to start with. Remember, they had gone to Pilate and said, "Hey, this guy said he's going to raise in 3 days. Can we get some security over there and make sure that the disciples don't steal his body?" Pilate said yes. So really and truly, these guards or these watchmen, these soldiers, are kind of working for the elders, the chief priests and the elders. So they're going to report what they've just seen. There's no doubt, there had to be no doubt in their mind that they had just seen something supernatural. They saw an angel, and they fell down as dead men. In other words, they fell unconscious. They had just seen an angel of the Lord. They quite sure that they knew that it was supernatural, and I'm quite sure that they would have communicated that to the religious elders. But as usual, the leaders were not going to hear the truth. They were going to ignore the glaring truth and refused to consider that Jesus had risen from the dead. They just weren't going to entertain that at all. They were blinded by their own agenda. They had been blinded by their own agenda all throughout Jesus' ministry, and they were determined to never concede that anything Jesus had said was true. They're just not going to go along with it. No amount of evidence was going to change their mind. They were spiritually blind. They were self-willed. They were the establishment, and they were going to make sure they stayed the establishment. And that's such a sad thing. However, in spite of their denial, they were nonetheless alarmed at what they just heard, fearful what this could mean going forward for themselves. Their main objective was to make sure that this news, the news of the resurrection, didn't spread, or if it did spread, which was obviously it was going to, that it would not be believed. And so they couldn't really deny that there was an empty tomb. That would be futile, because people are going to check that out. And so really they have to create a cover-up. They have to come up with an alternative story. And their biggest fear was that if others saw that he was resurrected, then they would conclude that he was the Messiah. And in that case, they would begin to follow him as such. And that what would that mean for the religious establishment? Well, all of their leadership would be behind them. Their power, their influence, even their livelihoods would go away. And that was not an option that they were willing to consider. So it's kind of all hands on deck with the religious leaders. Let's get this problem fixed. Let's figure it out. So again, verse 11, it says some of the watch came into the city, showed the chief priest all the things that were done, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. So what they're speaking of there, of gathering, coming together and assembling with the elders, that's really alluding to or referring to a convening of the Sanhedrin, the religious, the Jewish highest court in Jewish law was the Sanhedrin. We've talked about it many times. And the amazing thing is they've assembled the Sanhedrin, and however many councilmen showed up, members of that, and they are going to deliberate, intentionally going to deliberate on how to cover up the truth. Now, you think about this. This was the equivalent of our Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of the United States. This was the Supreme Court of the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. And they're convening to consider their options and how they're going to propagate falsehood. That's essentially what's taking place here. There's no limit to the depths that the powers that would be in any nation or otherwise, what they will sink to in order to protect their power and continue to have it. They're coming together. They're putting their heads together to get a plan, and they came up with a threefold plan. Number one, they're going to bribe the soldiers who had guarded the tomb. Number two, they're going to spread a lie. They're going to concoct a story about the body of Jesus, an alternative to the truth. Number three, they're going to protect the soldiers from the possible consequences of an angry governor, who was Pilate, if he were to find out or if he was to think that they had indeed fallen asleep on the job. So they're going to put this threefold plan in place. Let's look at it one at a time. First of all, they're going to bribe the soldiers. Verse 12 there, the second last part of it says they gave large money unto the soldiers. I don't know what large money is, but that means there's probably a lot of money. And the amount is not specified, but it would have been a significant amount for the scripture have said it was a large amount. Now, likely there were a number of soldiers involved with this. Responsibility with watching the tomb was more than just a couple of guys here. There would have been a whole detail of them that was assembled to take care of this and work in shifts and this sort of thing. And so it was not just the ones that had been there when the angel of the Lord appeared and the stone was rolled away and the earthquake and all of that. There would have been more involved that weren't there but were perhaps going to work the next shift or work the previous shift, okay? And so they all would have had to been paid off. And so the religious leaders were willing to pay whatever that amount was. Now, the Greek word that's rendered money there is literally means silver. It's the exact same word that was used in Matthew 26 when the scripture was speaking of the blood money that was given unto Judas, the 30 pieces of silver. Exact same word used there. So they paid them off in silver. They paid them off well, according to the scripture. It says large amounts. So that's the first step of the plan. We've paid off the soldiers. We've given them hush money. And now the second part of that plan is to determine what kind of lie they're going to tell. Verse 13 says, they told the soldiers, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. So that's the plan. They didn't have many options to go to, and they're considering this is really the only plausible alternative story, was to say that, hey, these soldiers fell asleep, and while they were asleep, somebody came in and stole the body, which we know is an absolute lie. But this contingent of soldiers, this would have been a very difficult thing for them to lie about. It's a hard pill to swallow, if you will, for a soldier, because essentially it was admitting that they had failed to carry out their duties. And as soldiers, that was that was just not something that they would do. So there had to have been a lot of money involved for them to be persuaded to say that, hey, we fell asleep on the job. To admit to such an infraction as that was beyond acceptable, and it would have been I guess what I'm trying to say is the juice was worth the squeeze, so to speak. Apparently the compensation was such that they said, yeah, we'll do that, and they agreed to the deal. So that brings us to the third objective of this plan, and that's to protect them. Where are they going to protect them from? Well, they have to protect them from the governor, because when he catches wind these soldiers fell asleep on the job, that would probably very likely mean that they would lose their lives. They would be put to death by Pilate. And so they don't want that to happen, obviously. In order to make the deal with the soldiers and get them to lie, the religious powers that be have to say, look, guys, we're going to go to the governor and we're going to protect you on this. We have your back. And that was a must, because the soldiers would have done it otherwise. Now, essentially they're saying, in the event he catches wind that you've been sleeping on the job and you've allowed the body of Jesus to be stolen, typically you would be killed, but we're not going to let that happen. If I were the soldiers, I would have still said, nah, I'm going to tell the truth here. But they didn't, and they relented. And if you'll remember, the religious leaders kind of have Pilate over a barrel a little bit at this particular juncture in history. If you'll remember, during the trial of the Lord Jesus, they had him over a barrel there. He didn't need them in any way, form, or fashion going above his head and giving any kind of unfavorable report to the Emperor Caesar. He just didn't need that. He had already had some problems in the past. He'd already been in hot water with Caesar in the past as a governor of that particular region and province, and he did not want that. And so he was prone already to appease these Jewish leaders. Obviously, that was seen in, remember when he desired to release Jesus instead of Barabbas. I mean, that was just, he was trying to get out of having to condemn this innocent man. And, of course, they wouldn't have it. And he relented and allowed Jesus to be sentenced to death against his own judgment, against his wife's warnings. He relented, because the demands of the Jews were, though they were great, they were demands that he wanted to accommodate, because he just didn't want to get him, he didn't want any more problems. He didn't want to lose his job. He didn't want to be in hot water with Caesar. And so he's probably going to listen to these religious leaders if they have to go and explain the story that, yeah, they fell asleep, and yeah, Jesus' body was stolen, but give them a break. And they probably Pilate probably would have spared them. I'm sure the soldiers were hoping so. So with all of that understood, these soldiers have accepted the deal, and then we get to verse 15, and it says this, so they took the money, deal sealed right there, and did as they were taught. They went and told the story that they had been told to tell, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So they followed the leaders' orders, and they've been compensated for doing so, and this is going to result in the propaganda being circulated. To what extent, we don't know, but it was circulated to enough extent that Matthew says, and this is commonly reported amongst the Jews until this day. Here's what we have to consider. When Matthew is saying until this day, he's writing this 30 years later, in around AD 63, which would be 30 years after the resurrection. So, 3 decades later, he's saying this saying is commonly reported amongst the Jews today. So, it worked to a great extent. that for three decades this lie had continued to circulate to an extent. But the good thing is you and I know, as students of the Bible, that the truth of the resurrection far outpaced the lies of the stolen body, because we know that the church, by within 30 years, we've studied the book of Acts, and we know what happened. Within 30 years, the whole, not just that region, but ever surrounding region, the gospel had been taken to the greater part of the modern world, or not modern world, ancient world, rather. And so truth is always going to outpace lies, and it did in that case, because 30 years later, there were little churches all over, as we studied in the book of Acts, and the gospel was continuing to spread and spread and spread, and you and I are here tonight because it continued to spread. And I'm not sure that the lie that was circulated about the body is anything to be heard today. And so truth won out, and we're beneficiaries of it as we speak tonight. So let's go ahead and stand, and we'll be dismissed, and we'll see you back here on Sunday morning. Pray for those that have been mentioned, and we'll pray for rain, and we'll see you back here on Sunday. Bryce, how long are you going to be around?
Until the 24th.
Till the 24th. Okay, we're going to be with us a little while. Won't you lead us in prayer, please?